Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just commit this service to you, Father God, and we just say thank you for coming. Thank you for visiting us, Father. And we just ask, Lord God, that you just be with Pastor John as he speaks to us, Lord God, straight from the throne room. You're an awesome God. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Am I on, Steve? Okay. Good morning, everyone. You may be seated. Are you glad you're here today? I'm glad you're here today. You know, you really think about it. What is better than being in the presence of the Holy Spirit? We just sang this last song there, in the presence, welcome, Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, if He's not here, I want to go home. If He's not here, I hope you go home. we can't do church without the Holy Spirit in our midst, without the leading, without the just the knowledge that He is with us every day. And so as that song said, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome your presence into this place. And Jesus, we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to us. And today, for most of you already know this, but today is Pentecost Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. And the thing with Pentecost Sunday, you know, we look at the Resurrection Sunday, and what some of us call Easter Sunday, but Resurrection Sunday is one of the most important. The most important days, events that took place in the Christian life. And, you know, we remember Jesus on the cross. We remember the day that he finally came out of the tomb and lived. But yet, there's another important day that we celebrate today, and that's Pentecost Sunday, as we call it. And that is the time that the Holy Spirit came upon a group of people, a group of believers. And when we celebrate this today, the Spirit came upon them and dwelled in them and dwelt in every believer that is here today. Without the Holy Spirit, we would have no knowledge of what we are doing today. So thank you, Lord, that took place at that time. So the title of my sermon is The Promise. And for 3.5 years, Jesus taught and performed many, many miracles. And most importantly, he created a lot of very, very close relationships with those that walked with him. He had picked 12 people. He had chosen them to be with him, chosen them to give all that he would have to give. And so, of course, every spoken word, as we read in the Bible, every spoken word by Jesus is a life-giving treasure for each one of us sitting here today. So the last verse in the book of John tells us that if everything Jesus did was written down, that there would not be enough room to contain all that Jesus did. What a wonderful thing to look at, you know. we got everything that we needed. It's right here. But there's so much more. There was never any limits to all that Jesus did. And so as we walk today to know that whatever he did was to prepare us for such a time as this. And so how important would his final words be? And as I said, as he hung on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What an important thing to, here he is, our Jesus, on the cross, after all he had gone through, all the torture, all the mocking, all that he had gone through, and now he's on the cross, and he's telling his father to say, they just don't know what they're doing. How many times somebody hurts us? How many times the simplest thing, and we decide to hold a grudge? We decide to let that be the motivation of our heart. And here our Lord is dying on that cross, and he knows that they didn't know what they were doing. He was able to forgive them. Another word that he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Here's that thief that is hanging on his cross. And according to what you read, he deserved to be there. Not as Jesus did, but the thief did. But at that last moment, he sees who Jesus is. And Jesus forgives him. And all that to say that sometimes we go through life and there's some that will never, never come just as we are. We're very blessed to be able to sit here knowing that our sins have been forgiven, that one day we will be with Jesus in eternity, forever with him. But there's some people out there right now that can't say that. But there's never a time up until you take that last breath. You still have that chance to ask Jesus to forgive you and to be with him. Never too late. And there's one more that is my most favorite. It's my most favorite verse in the Bible, the New Testament. And that is, it is finished. I love that. He's saying there's no more to be done. He did it all. Everything that he was sent to do on earth, it was done. And so when we try to take things upon ourselves, when we can't forgive ourselves, when we can't forgive others, when we let the cares of the world come upon us, he's telling us, I already took care of it. I did it all. And so it's something that we need to realize that, you know, Jesus is the answer to all that we would ever need in this world. But as he hangs on the cross, not 3 days later, Jesus is resurrected. And for the next 40 days, he shows himself to his followers. He eats with them, talks and encourages them. And the time would come for his ascension to heaven. What would he say to them then? Maybe he'd say, well, guys, I hope you got everything I taught you. I'm now going to be with the Father, and soon you'll be with me. But until then, have a good life. Of course, we know that's not what he said. Not what he said at all. And so I want to go to Mark 16, 15, 20, and this is what he told them. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well." And after the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. The disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So all that to say, when he left, all the time that Jesus had spent with his disciples, he fed them, not only physically, but spiritually. He poured into them everything that he had within him. He loved them. He wanted them to be prepared for what was coming when he was gone. And so when he says this was his command. They were supposed to continue what he had started. It wasn't a time where, as I jokingly said, that, you know, he's going up to the Father and I'll have a good life. You know, that wasn't exactly what it was supposed to be for us. We weren't supposed to kick back and relax and wait. And so when he talks about the things that he did, that were assigned to these guys, we're supposed to go out there. We're supposed to lay our hands on those that are sick. We're supposed to be healing. We're supposed to not let the enemy come into our lives and cause chaos. It's up to us to know the authority that we've been granted and speak to these things and get those things out of your life. We have been given all that we could possibly ever need to make it in this life as we come through our own personal journeys. And so whenever you're home, check this out and ask God, where do I fit into this command that you gave us? Where am I? Hopefully, all of it. Hopefully you can do all things that he told us. Now I want to read one more scripture, and this is in Acts 1, and I'm going to read 1 through 11. And Luke recorded a little bit more of what the last moments of Jesus on this earth were. And so it says, and this is Luke, and of course most of you know that Luke also wrote the book of Acts. It says, "In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about.'" And so I want to stop there for a moment. And Jesus had spent time with the disciples during the Last Supper and just enlightening them of what was to come. He would be leaving. but he would be sending, the Holy Spirit. And this would be, he said that he couldn't be with them anymore, but that the Holy Spirit would be with them, could be with all of them. And of course, at that time, I'm sure the disciples weren't quite sure what that would look like. But what I want to read is that, Let's read a little bit more. I want to go a little bit farther. It says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They gathered around him and asked, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" And so one of the things that I want to bring out in the scriptures that I read, that Jesus had told his disciples to go to a specific place and to wait. And when you really think about it, when you see the progression of this, it told them, first he says, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said, the Holy Spirit, would give them the power. And then, only then, could they be ready to go and witness to the earth. So there is a progression. There is a progression. Verse 4 tells them to wait. Wait for the gift. And I would venture to ask most of you, how many like waiting? You know, waiting is a hard thing to do. We want to get on with it. We want to go forward. We want to, we don't even like waiting in a line so we can get what we need. But waiting is a hard thing for us. But this is the thing that we have to understand, that when the Holy Spirit gives us the direction, that we don't want to run ahead of what he is telling us to do. You know, for them, the wait, as it turned out, was only a 10-day wait. But when you think about it, they said wait. They didn't know how long it would take. But yet, they were obedient to what Jesus had told them. And so a lot of us sometimes, you know, we go through 10 days or we go through one day and it's like, okay, no, I better, you know, it's not going to happen. And so we wind up trying to get ahead of God's plan for us. And therefore, now we're on our own because that's not where God wanted us to be. And so these guys weren't ready until that particular time came. So let's go on with verse 9 through 11 now. It says, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. It says, 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking in the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you see him going into heaven.'" And so another point to bring up as you see the ascension of Christ, you know, he's being taken up. He's, you know, of course, the disciples are in awe of what's going on. You know, here they see their Lord rising into the heavens. I mean, that would have been a most beautiful sight to see that this was the true Son of God and going to the Father. But for many of us, this is where we stay. We're satisfied by standing and looking into the sky and waiting for the return of Jesus, or by being called to our heavenly home. But that is not what Jesus commanded. I want to put up Mark 16, 15, and 16 again, if I could. And this is This is what he told us to do. This is the believer's call. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is every believer's call. Somehow, somewhere, there's someone out there that wants to hear about Jesus. And you don't have to stand up here. You can speak to your brother or your sister, or you can speak to your neighbor, or you can speak to the guy at the store. But there's somebody out there that needs to hear and know what you know. I know that I don't want to be on this earth if I can't be serving my Lord. And I hope that to my last breath, you will hear those words come from me. Somehow, however it is that God uses you, don't just stand there and look into the sky and have a good life. Do this. Go into the world and tell them about who Jesus is. And so the disciples did as Jesus instructed. They waited for the promise, and not knowing what it would look like, they say, you know, today we have this wonderful book that gives us descriptions that comes alive to reveal who the Holy Spirit is. But these guys, all they remember is Jesus telling them, you know, what he would do, how he would come. But they had no idea what it would look like. But yet they knew enough and love Jesus enough to do as he instructed. And so when the time finally comes, and I want to read out of Acts 2:1-4. And this is 10 days after the resurrection. They had waited for this moment. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They finally got to experience what Jesus had been talking to them about, the promised Holy Spirit, the promise that the Father had made to them that he would send this wonderful Holy Spirit. And in this particular time, God chose to make his presence known in a very spectacular way. You see the wind and you see the fire and the tongues. It's wow. I'd love to see that here one day. We will see that here one day. And that's what the Holy Spirit is about. He's awesome. He can show himself in so many ways. But yet, as we've read in other parts of the Bible, he also speaks to us in a gentle whisper. He just, sometimes when you're in your quiet, sometimes when it's just you and him, and you hear this whisper. And so it's time to put away all the activity of the day, put away the things, and just sit there and listen. Let him speak to your heart. Let him love you up. Let him love you up. He's wanting to transform each of us into his likeness. And that's what this is all about. This is what the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does. So when you look at the transformations that you can testify of your own lives, but let's look at what he did with his disciples. Once they were confused, afraid, and scattered. And Peter even denied even knowing Jesus. These guys really didn't look like superstars, did they? Sometimes it reminds me of me a lot. sometimes I don't feel like I'm doing all I could for him, but I just keep doing it. And we all, I think, can confirm that. You know, we're always wanting to. He deserves what we have and more, whatever that may be. But these guys would dedicate their lives to serve him. The baptism of the Holy Spirit transformed who they were. And following this great event, Peter comes out and he speaks. And not only did the people not understand what had happened, some of the same people he was speaking to were the same who had crucified Jesus. And yet, when Peter came out and spoke to them, he spoke with confidence and boldness. He was not that same guy that said, I don't know the guy. I don't know the man. I don't know that Jesus you're talking about. And as you see, as the word says, that all these disciples would go on to have their ministries, to have their trials and tribulations. And for the most of them, they lost their lives standing up for the gospel. And these were guys that, because they, when you read what the questions they asked and the actions they did prior to this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you wonder, Jesus, why did you choose them? You know? So, but quite a change after this event. So I want to read Acts 2, starting with verse 13. And it says, this is when, right after the event, and of course, there's people out there, and they're wondering what is going on, because they witnessed. There's a lot of people that witnesses. So it says, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now that verse always gets me. You know, had it been 3 or 5, would he said, yeah, maybe they are. You know, I always think of that once they say it's 5 o'clock somewhere, you know. But, you know, I always wondered about that. But I think for the culture of that time, it was like, yeah, you could have your wine, but don't do it in the morning. But it is something to look at. These people, that's the only way they could explain what they had seen. And sometimes when you, when we get crazy here, I'm sure that there's some that have never witnessed it. I'm sure there's some that are still wondering, what is wrong with them guys? Hopefully they don't think we brought our little bottle in here. But, you know, we do things that don't quite fit with the natural way of that most churches celebrate. But when you look at the event that took place, these guys are asking, are they drunk? That means that didn't quite look like the nice little, you know, fold your hands and pray, you know. They were experiencing something that had never been seen, something that was wonderful, something that could not be explained. And to this point, the Holy Spirit has the reign to do whatever he wants in this church. And sometimes we're doing things a little different than most churches. But you know what? He's still blessing us, and we will continue to do so. And so Where am I here? Let's go on with verse 16. It says, then Peter goes on, it says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. For the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Peter was saying, this was a quote from Joel. And it says, Peter was saying, this is the day that we've been waiting for. All the Old Testament, all up until that point, all God's people were looking to the day that the Holy Spirit would be poured upon them. God's Holy Spirit was now available for everyone to receive. In previous times, the Spirit would come upon, say, a prophet. The prophet would speak, and then the Spirit would once again lift. Only would be upon certain people. But this day, today, the day we're celebrating today, that Holy Spirit became available to everyone that believed in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit has been active since the beginning of time. But after Pentecost, he came alive in all believers. This particular time was an annual festival celebration. Jews from many nations had gathered in Jerusalem. Peter's sermon would bring 3,000 new converts. And because they were from different nations, they would go back to their homes as witnesses to what they had experienced. So it wasn't just a sarita, let's get together and talk type thing. This was like a big festival, a big conference. People from different nations had come, not so much to see the Holy Spirit, but to have their yearly festival that they would celebrate for Passover or for Pentecost. So the thing about this is that all these people that were there, they went back. And those, they said 3,000 of them that converted. So there were people there that really saw the truth, that saw and experienced and had the Holy Spirit within them. And so because of them, the Holy Spirit would then be released throughout the nations. Now, coincidence that this just happened to happen, or God's perfect timing? I know for all of us, all things that happen in our lives are not coincidence. Every step we take, everywhere we go, if we're listening, if we're following the direction of the Holy Spirit, it's not coincidence. That's his plan. If we could just stay with him, not go ahead of him, but listen to that whisper or see that major event that's in front of us. As long as we're following him, then there's a wonderful plan that's taking place for each one of us. So I want to go now to Ephesians 1, 17 through 20. And it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right side or the right hand in the heavenly realms. So all that to say is that when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit made an instant, complete transformation. The moment that you said, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, that person that you were has just begun a wonderful transformation. And so everything that you would ever need is present within you at that moment. So you don't get just a part of Jesus. It's not like he's going to give you a half of him or something. You asked him to come and be your Lord, and he wants to dwell within you. So you don't get a part of him. You get his fullness. You have the fullness of Jesus Christ within you. You have the same power, it says, that raised Jesus. And yet, it's possible to have it and never allow it to be released. What a sad event, right? We have all that, everything Jesus had is right here. And yet, sometimes, for whatever reason, we choose to keep it locked within us. So, question goes not only to all of us. Are we keeping the Holy Spirit nice and comfy inside when he's really wanting to express and explode through you? There's so many things that he wants to do through each of us. And sometimes, as I said, we're just happy that he's in here. And what a wonderful thing. Don't think that I'm, you know, making it any less. It's a wonderful thing to have the Spirit of God within us. But he's wanting to work through you. He's wanting to take you places that are unimaginable, like it says in it. He wants to open the eyes of our heart. And so when he sees our heart, he knows exactly what you can do and where he needs to lead you and how he's going to get you there. He wants to enlighten our eyes to see, but not with our natural eyes, not to hear with our natural ears, but with our heart. And the only thing that stands in the way is our unrenewed mind. You know that this thing up here causes more issues with our walk with Jesus than anything else. There's things that we have to convince our mind that our spirit already knows. When we receive Jesus, our spirit is enlightened. But now it's that transformation that has to tell this guy up here, hey, you're wrong. You know, this is where you have to go. And that's where our quest is for most Christians, that we can get to a place that we know, but we don't let the Spirit tell our minds what to do. And so the Holy Spirit wants to renew our minds and transform our hearts if we would just allow him. So I want to read now 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 9 through 16. And it says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not understand the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And I want to stop there because there may be some here even today, you're hearing what I'm saying, but maybe there's not an understanding to what you're hearing. Maybe you're wondering why would I say that, or how does this fit? And just know that whatever I say to you here today, we always tell people, don't take my word for it. Go home and read it yourself. You know, pick up this wonderful book and read it for yourself. But this is God's truth. And so sometimes we don't have understanding, but the thing about it, it's not a condemnation point. It's just to say, well, if you don't, where are you going to go so you can get the understanding? And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. He will reveal those things that you may not have understanding for. He will open. One of the scriptures says that when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he says he opened up their minds to understand the scripture. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us today. He opens up our minds because there's things that I know there's things I read years ago, and it just kind of like I bypassed it and went on to something that I really understood for the moment. And maybe today I read that and it's like, wow, how did I miss that? You know, how did I miss that point? You know, well, guess what? It wasn't for that time. And so I'm okay with it because he gave it to me today. So feel no condemnation if there's some things that sometimes you go, what does he mean by this? But never stop asking the Holy Spirit to open up the eyes and ears of your heart so that you can understand what he's talking about. And do you find it hard that when you read the Bible, that they are just words? Do you find it hard to really devote yourself to serious prayer? The Holy Spirit puts passion in our hearts to want to pray. He opens up our mind to understand the scriptures. The Holy Spirit does not take over for us, but he helps, directs, and empowers us in everything that we do. He's there. He's there if we just allow him to have reign in our life, to have reign in each of our days. He's there. Let's go to Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And I think you're all familiar with this scripture. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because against these such things, there is no law. And so this is the fruit that we should be producing. When you look at all those things that are written up there, and leave it up there for a little bit, Katie. When you look at the things that are written up there, if you're having a hard time walking in joy, Holy Spirit will take care of that for you. You have a hard time with self-control, getting angry, getting continuing to lose your temper, to create a chaotic situation, Holy Spirit will take care of you. The Holy Spirit is a gift, and therefore, this is what comes forth from allowing him to work in your life. You should have joys. You should have peace. You know, sometimes we walk every day with chaos all around us. Let the Holy Spirit take care of that. Instead of retaliating, instead of finding a way to get back to the guy, kick back a little bit. Say, Lord, I don't want to be here. I want to be where you want me to be. And Jesus said he would be our comforter, our counselor, and he wants to include him in all that we do. So when looking for a, and I thought of this one, when looking for a parking spot, you ever guys ever get out there and by the time you're driving around the mall or wherever it is, you're losing your cool and you see one and you're going to drive up there and somebody pulls in and you're going to say, have a nice day. Sometimes we don't go there, do we? Or the other one that I know my wife and I do a lot is trying to merge into a very busy freeway. And you see all these cars coming, traffic coming. And I know my wife is always reminds me, pray that the cars will stop so we can get on. And guess what? It works. It works, even if it's a little bitty window, but for a moment, there's no cars, you know? And it makes it seem like this is big deal, but these are the things that the Holy Spirit wants to be included in. The simplest little things that we go through. It's not just the big miracles and those prayers that just don't seem to get answered. He's here, and everything that you feel in your heart, he's there. He's the closest thing to our heart that you can have. And so he sees the condition of our hearts, and he knows how you're going to react to certain things. So many times I think he saves us from that we might do that's not pleasing to him. Just remember that he dwells within us. And he's not just somebody that's floating around, you know, and just kind of when you say, okay, I need some power, you know. He lives here. He dwells here. And he knows your heart. So we're going to go to Romans 8, 26 and 27. And I'm just going to read you a few ways that that the Holy Spirit works in our lives and how he makes our lives an easier walk. That's what it says. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to God's with the will of God. And so I wanted to, there's so many scriptures that we could talk about how the Holy Spirit intervenes, but I just chose a couple of them. But this one in particular is because I know I've been there, and I think you have too. You ever prayed so much that you just are so worn out? The words are just, I've already said that. I've already, you know, you're at a place that you're just you're not defeated. You're just worn out. And that's what he's telling us right now, that he is the one that can give us strength. Our strength has been diminished. So that's when the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. He prays with you, not only with you, but he prays for you. And like I say, I know that most of us sometimes, there are moments that we just don't know what else to pray, but he's going to give you the words. He's going to give you that spirit that brings him into that place that he can say, yeah, I can work with this. And one more is 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15. And this one here could be a little bit of a kind of a, I don't understand. But as I said earlier, whatever's in this book, I believe it's truth. And whatever it is, you know, go check it out. But this one says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. And so a lot of church bodies don't really believe on this particular gift. They don't promote praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, whatever you want to call it. And so I know for most of you already know that this church does. And what I would have to say is that the speaking in tongues, the praying in tongues, is such a powerful weapon for the Christian church that if there was something that the enemy would want to take out of the church, that would be it. Because you'll see other scriptures where it talks about, where only God understands, you're praying with the tongues of angels. There's so much more that deals with that. But it is something that is in the Bible, and it is something for us to really consider, those of you that don't do that. It is a wonderful thing if you can accept it. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about also, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit a gift. And so when the Holy Spirit came, he also brought gifts with him. And I just want to give you, if you're writing down scriptures, again, you can go check them out later. But these spiritual gifts you will find in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. And there's a list of the gifts that that come with the Holy Spirit. And these are gifts. Again, the Holy Spirit is here to get us through this journey. These gifts, one day when we get to heaven, they're not going to matter. You know, all that we had getting here today is what it takes for us to live an abundant and powerful life on earth, serving God, doing the things that we were called to do. And so some of those things, and I'm just going to read a few. It says the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching, the gift of healing, the gift of discerning of spirits, and the gift of tongues. That's also part of it. So I hope you would agree that our God gives only good gifts. You got to remember, the Bible says that, and we believe that God sent his only begotten Son. What a gift, right? And then through him, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we get all these other gifts that are here for the strengthening of our church, for the strengthening of the Church of Christ. And so not only is he a gift from God, but he brings these gifts with him, available for us if we choose to accept them. Because everything I've spoken of today, these are things that are available to you this day. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all these things are available to you. But one thing that he does is that he will never force anything upon anyone. We always have a choice. And so what I want to do right now is I would like to ask you all to stand, if you would. And I just want to pray for you. If the worship team maybe would come up for a bit. And I want to pray for you. You have heard of the baptisms of the Holy Spirit, the spectacular way that it that God or the Holy Spirit presented himself, expressed himself. But there's so much more that's available to you. And so my prayer today is that whatever touched your heart, whatever you really heard with your ears of your heart, whatever you would receive, whether it's this moment, tomorrow, whenever it's God's timing, that you would allow that to take place in your life. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the words that came forth today were from your heart, Lord. You placed them in my heart so that I could express them to those, Lord, that that you brought here this day, Lord. So, Lord, I ask that whatever it was that today was understood by those that are here, Lord, I ask that you would bless each one, Lord. Open the eyes of their hearts. Lord, that if it would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit in whatever form you choose, Lord, spectacular, whispers, whatever gifts you bring, Lord, whatever gifts are accepted by the people here this day, Lord, have your way. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.